It's the 1st of December, 2022. Time keeps passing uncontrollably, inexorably. This is the truth of anicchang. The Buddha talked about the three universal characteristics, anicca, dukkha, anatta. And so this is the truth of anicca, of impermanence, inconstancy. No matter what we do, time keeps passing and we can't stop it, and we keep aging and we can't stop that, and then we die and we can't stop death. Nobody can stop death. So this is the truth of the Dhamma, and it's always in our face all the time, but it's kind of like, no, I don't want to see it. It's being pushed in our face all the time, and we're kind of trying as hard as we can to distract ourselves from it and look away from it. And it's hard. It's hard just to look at the present, just to see what things are like in the present. It's hard to do and hard to accept the way things are. But it is the way to the end of suffering, though, so it's kind of important to convince ourselves to do that. So the Buddha taught about the way to the end of suffering and the Four Noble Truths, Noble Eightfold Path. These are just this is the practice the Buddha's talking about, and you know what we end up talking about in these Dhamma talks. We end up talking about how to cultivate our minds, how to what sort of causes we want to plant, and what sort of things we want to be cultivating and practicing. So we end up not talking about actual meditation techniques so much, which might seem kind of strange, but it's actually not strange, because the end of suffering is not dependent on a meditation technique. So we're actually talking about how to really get to the end of suffering, and it's all about how we hold our mind. It's all about right view, and it's all about planting the causes and conditions for happiness and actually letting go and relinquishing all those conditions that lead to sorrow and suffering and sadness. And this comes from presence. This comes from looking with mindfulness at the way things are. It's mindfulness of the body, all the anxiety and sorrow and sadness that we have in our mind, coming back to seeing where it's experienced in the body, depersonalizing it. Is incredibly helpful. And also knowing and acknowledging that association with good people and association with spiritual friends is a necessary condition for progress along the path. We can't really do it on our own. We need help. We need a lot of help. And even if we do draw close to teachers, you know, we actually have to listen and put into practice the kind of things they're suggesting. And then, you know, even if we do that, then even still, the road is very windy and difficult, and it's rocky, and it's got obstacles. There's a lot of obstacles in the path. And so we have to develop that perseverance. We have to develop this quality of perseverance to keep going. So that's what we call adhitana. Adhitana parami is the following through with things, developing that perseverance that when we start something, we actually finish it. We don't just get bored with it and start something else. We actually see things through to completion. And we can do this with little things. When we start something small, a small project, we see it through to completion, and then we move on to bigger things. When we follow a precept, we keep it long term, we follow it through to completion, see what's the actual effect. Sometimes, and when we come to the end of the year and people make New Year's resolutions, but we actually have to make these New Year's resolutions every day. We have to do this every day. And we can make one day resolutions, that's more realistic. So when we want to actually change ourselves, we make a one day resolution. So that's kind of a pro tip for practice, is make a one day resolution. Today I'm going to meditate for 1 hour. So we can do that. Pretty much anybody can do that. If you can't do that, okay, today I'm going to meditate for 30 minutes. Today I'm not going to tell a lie, just for today, just for one day. Or today I will, today I will not drink coffee, just for one day. And we make a one-day resolution. And then at the end of the day, we say, well, did I keep my one-day resolution? Wow, I kept it. I kept my one-day resolution to not tell a lie. Yeah. And then the next day, we make another one-day resolution. Okay, today I'm not going to tell a lie. And then we build up. We build up that way. We make one-day resolutions. Because if we make some big sweeping New Year's resolution, then do you know anybody who's ever kept one of those? That's very, it's a pretty unusual for somebody to keep a New Year's resolution. It might go for a week or two and feel inspired, and then back to the default back to whatever, wherever we were at before. So seeing the way things are, picking ourselves up, perseverance. And then what do we do? What do we do when the mind isn't clear? What do we do when the mind isn't able to be mindful? What do we do when we're tired and we're asked to do something? So it's very easy to become irritated or scattered, and these things are normal. Say we don't get enough sleep. We don't get enough sleep, and then things are even more difficult than normal. So what do we do then? So a lot of the practices we do in the monastery, say not sleeping quite as much as what's recommended in the world, or just staying up on the lunar observance days. Sometimes this is the half moon, so it's optional this evening. But then some people end up staying up on the lunar observance days, and then the next day, mindfulness might be a bit weaker because we're tired. We've been up meditating through most of the night, so we get tired. We get tired the next day. We'll be physically and mentally tired, physically and mentally exhausted even. So what do we do then? Or like even tonight, like for myself, I can say that I'm physically and mentally exhausted from wrapping up everything that's on my plate before I go on my sabbatical in Thailand, leaving December 17th, and so then it falls to me to give the talk, and with mental exhaustion, you're thinking, oh, I'm very unclear. What am I going to say? But then I can just fall back on those basic principles, those basic Dhamma principles, anicca, dukkha, anatta, impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, not self, these three characteristics of existence. So I could respond in a couple different ways. I could complain about it and say, oh, I'm exhausted, I can't give a talk tonight. So I could go into, the mind could become unwholesome, or the mind could become wholesome and rise up. But when the mind is wholesome, it can rise up to almost anything. When the mind becomes unwholesome, that's when reality gets skewed. I've noticed this, I've been contemplating this a lot. When the mind is unwholesome, that's when reality gets skewed. That's when things aren't clear. And when the mind, if we go into the wholesome or the bright, and then even when the mind is tired, even when the body is tired, then we can actually go, we can look at Dhamma directly. Well, it's just like this. Being tired is just like this. Being exhausted is like this. And then it's not a problem. It's like Longpo Somedo saying, you know, he was a junior monk at Wat Nong Papong with Longpo Cha, and saying, got into this state of, I can't endure this anymore. He said, I can't endure it anymore. I can't take it anymore. And then he realized that even when he was saying that, he was actually enduring it. He's like, I can't take another second of this. One, two, three. Well, I just took three more seconds of this. So he started seeing, well, the mind is just crazy. That's just how it is. The mind just says these things. So to be able to actually reflect on it, and that's the way of the contemplative, that's the way of the samana, the way of the religious seeker, is to reflect on things and take it back to ourselves. We call that turning back the light, you know, looking at ourselves, and not looking out so much, but looking in, looking inward. Sometimes we might think, like, oh, wouldn't it be great if the whole world was Buddhist, you know, if everybody just understood the Dhamma. But then we look into ourselves and we think, well, I don't even understand the Dhamma. How could I hope for that? Yeah. Well, what, if everybody in the world was keeping the precepts, there wouldn't be any war, and everything would be okay. And, well, am I keeping the precepts? So turning the light inward. So really, the one we can change is right here. This is the one we can change. We can't really change anybody outside of ourselves. But if we can change ourselves, if we can train ourselves, then we can be a good example. And if anybody else wants to change themselves, that's up to them. That's great. We can rejoice in that. So we focus on ourselves, focus on changing ourselves, and we can even do that with an intention of compassion. It's very compassionate to others to train ourselves and change ourselves and tame ourselves. The Buddha used the word taming. So we can tame ourselves. The heart is unruly. The mind is wild and all over the place, and not to take it personally. Longpo Somedo has a book called Don't Take Yourself Personally. So if we cannot take ourselves personally, we can see that everything in the mind is just causes and conditions built up through this life and however we were brought up, the society we live in, our friends and peers, where we went to school, what kind of influences we had, our karma as well. So there's all these conditions that come into play. So we might think our perceptions and our views and opinions are ours, but they're actually not. They're not self. They're just causes and conditions built up according to nature, according to what we're surrounded with. So we're surrounded by good influences. The mind steers toward a wholesome course. We're surrounded by bad influences. The mind steers toward an unwholesome course. It's not really our fault. But then then it can kind of seem like, well, you know, whatever I do, it's not going to matter. It just depends on whatever causes and conditions I'm surrounded by. But then there is that kind of mysterious aspect of, we do have something to say about it. We do have a choice. But we can't just change our life. We can't just do a U-turn, but we can curb the momentum. So we can actually curb the momentum of where our mind is going and make it more wholesome. We can't just go a completely different direction right away, because our intentions and our every decision that we make is going to be conditioned by our past karma. We can actually curb it. We can lean in a different direction. And so it's kind of mysterious how that happens. It's wonderful that that is possible, that it's possible to take an unwholesome mind and actually curb it to the wholesome. We can take an unwise mind and curb it toward wisdom. We can take an untrained mind and curb it towards training. This is the miracle of learning. Learning is actually a miracle that we can, even learning anything, it's how does that actually happen? We see something and the mind notices it. It notices how it works. We see something, we notice how it works, and then we can repeat it. And we can say, oh, this has that result. So that's learning. It's like something like sharpening, like knife sharpening. So at first we can't do it, but then with practice, we develop muscle memory and we can make a knife sharp. So the Dhamma practice is exactly the same as that. At first it's awkward and we're kind of stumbling, and then with practice, then it gets better. But if we don't practice, it won't get better. It'll always just remain theoretical. Brahmaviharas is a theme I've kind of been picking up, thinking about. Also, metta, karuna, mudita, upeka. These are the Brahma abidings. Meaning the mind is elevated, the mind is higher when we absorb into these things, when we consider these things. Metta is goodwill, well-wishing for ourselves and others. Karuna is the compassion, wishing that ourselves and others be free of suffering. Mudita is normally translated as sympathetic joy, but I like to think of it as just rejoicing. It's rejoicing in the goodness of ourselves and rejoicing in the goodness of others. And then upekkha, equanimity, comes about through the recollection of karma. And we can bring the mind back to a state of equanimity by reflecting that whatever we do, everybody, including ourselves, is the owner of their karma. Heir to the karma, born of the karma, related to the karma, abide supported by their karma. Whatever karma both myself and others do, for good or for ill, of that we will reap the results of that. So that recollection is supposed to bring the mind back to a state of equanimity. And that we can say, okay, well, we can elevate the mind to equanimity, which is a state of serenity and ease, even in the midst of all the difficulties and tragedies in the world. So this is how to keep the mind from sinking. It's important to learn how to keep the mind from sinking, to keep the mind elevated, to keep the mind bright. Because it's very easy. Anytime we want, we can focus on something negative and the mind will sink. And because it's a habit, it's a habit for most of us to easily focus on the negative and think, you know, why does it have to be that way? It shouldn't be that way. But instead, we can use these Brahmaviharas to actually elevate the mind and keep the mind positive. It's very easy to find things to be negative about, but to find things to be positive about, that takes a bit of effort. So we can make a one-day determination, one-day aditana. Today I'm going to focus on the positive. Just do it for one day. today I'm going to cultivate goodwill for myself and just do it for one day. Today I'm going to have compassion and just do it for one day. Today I'm going to reflect on karma and develop equanimity and just do it for one day. That's all that is needed. And then we'll be in line with the Dhammapada verse that says, you know, better than 100 years lived distracted and living unskillfully is a single day spent dedicated to virtue, dedicated to virtuous behavior of body, speech, and mind. That's the whole idea of the Wan Prat, of this Lunar Observance Day, is that it's the Prat. Prat means excellent. Prat is a word that means excellent. So we make it an excellent day. We dedicate, and determining the eight precepts are traditionally determined on this day. So by determining those precepts, we make this day excellent. We elevate ourselves to Prat, and we make ourselves excellent. And this is a wonderful thing that we can do this. So we can determine, okay, just this one day, I'm going to make this an excellent day by taking the precepts just for a day. So as time goes on, we can reflect on these things, we can recollect these things, and it can be incredibly helpful, incredibly useful. And so I think just a fairly short talk this evening is in order, so I'll leave it there for this evening.